summer musical auditions are coming up at Shasta College. Come audition for our 2025 musical production of Guys and Dolls. Auditions will take place on March 10th, 2025 at 6 p.m. in the Shasta College Theater Building 500 and are open to students and the community of all ages. Ensemble members are still needed. Rehearsals will begin June 9th, 2025, and a detailed schedule will be provided to those cast. Contact Dr. Greg Thorson for more details.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and back with one of our favorite guys. Alec Baldwin is here, of course, a huge military supporter and the son of a drill sergeant. So, Alec, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's still, we've had a pretty strong winter here in New York, so today is a little warmer and rainy, but, man, it's been cold here. It's been, like, in the 20s for, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
You know, a real winter this year, very cold winter this year, which I don't really mind, but I have 7 children, so that's always a factor.
Right. Well, you know, we were looking it up. It's been a little over 4 years since you've been on the show with us.
Uh-huh.
Anything happened in your life big time in that period?
During those 4 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had a few issues I've been dealing with these last 4 years, yeah.
How many kids ago was that?
That's funny. Probably 1, 2, 3... Three kids ago. In the intervening 4 years, we've had 3 kids. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
It's like rings of a tree.
Right.
We guess the age of my life. We measure the years of my life by my children, by my 7 children. But I've been dealing with that situation in New Mexico, which was very painful, very difficult.
Yep. Sure.
But that's behind me now, thank God.
Yes.
And I'm hopefully going to move on in certain ways, and just I really haven't worked very much these last 3 years, which is great because being home and raising my kids. I know that a lot of the people who you work with, I mean, I always remember this from my friends when I was younger who were in the military, who enlisted or went ROTC and so forth. Mm. The, you know, that one factor about military life is being away from home.
Sure. Yep.
And missing your family. And I just can't even imagine how difficult that must be because I'm away from my kids one night and I'm miserable. You know?
Yeah, right.
So my heart goes out to everybody in the U.S. military and beyond who are missing their family right now.
And it's like we always say, you know, everybody serves. Everybody serves in a family. And, most of the time, though, Alec, we're talking to Alec Baldwin here in the National Defense. Most of the time you got that many kids, you got to do a reality show.
Well, I wasn't that eager to do a reality show with my family. I must say that was not on my bucket list. But my wife convinced me because, you know, you think a movie might be where you're at if you're lucky, or a play, if it's the right role for you, your age and so forth. I'm getting a little bit older now. But the truth of the matter was when I sat down and accepted the fact that this is what I'm doing now.
Right.
This is the project I'm working on now.
Right.
Certain difficulties in my life kind of crushed my career for a while and work opportunities. And I was home these past 3.5 years, most of the time, nearly all of the time I'm home. I take my kids to school every morning. I drive them out to Brooklyn, blah, blah, blah. And this is the project I'm working on. So when we decided to do this show, I thought, well, I'm not pretending, you know, I'm not,
right.
I'm not pretending I like my kids and I want to spend time with them. I do like my kids and I do spend an inordinate amount of time with them.
Might as well get paid for it.
Well, I might as well get paid. We're not getting paid a lot of money here, but we're going to, it's enough to pay for ice cream for my kids for the summer.
So, so this show, The Baldwins, it starts February 23rd on TLC. 7 kids, 6 pets, and the cameras just following you around everywhere. I understand that John from John and Kate Plus 8 told you not to do it. Is that right?
Well, I heard about that. It wasn't like he contacted me directly.
Sure.
But I remember reading somewhere that they had said that he was giving us this advice. Listen, I think that in terms of public life, doing films and TV and living that life where your private life is somewhat public, you can certainly do a better job than I've done of keeping it private. But my point is that I've had the worst of it.
Yeah.
Whatever they're going to say about me,
right.
And they're doing a reality show. I'll never forget when I did Hollywood Squares, because the family that owned that from King and his family that owned Hollywood Squares, they offered my mother's charity a lot of money, and they wrote an article on in the magazine or something. Or something where they said, the final nail in Alec Baldwin's career coffin about Hollywood Squares. Well, then I hosted Match Game for 3 seasons.
You were great on Match Game, man. I love Match Game.
I had more fun doing Match Game. The thing is, you can go do jobs, like films, let's say, that are very challenging. You might have an opportunity to make a good film in terms of the overall, because you're not the whole thing, and your performance. You have that chance every now and then. But those opportunities were diminishing. So I thought to myself, I'm not going to do Match Game to protect what? And, of course, with Match Game, like with the Capital One Bank commercials I did for 5 years, we gave all the money to charity, my wife and I. But those were tributaries of income for me to give to mostly arts-related charities. And so, I mean, I didn't have a problem with it at all. The repercussions of the reality show don't really matter to me very much.
Well, you know, it seemed like, especially on Match Game, and you can tell when somebody's doing something and having a good time with it and enjoying themselves. And that's what always makes it great for the listener, for the viewer, for whoever's consuming that. But it just seemed like you guys were having such a great time. Were you drunk the entire time?
I'm a non-drinker. This month of February that we're in now, it's 40 years for me, 40 years of being a non-drinker. When I was partying, when I was a kid and I was young, we were in New York and somebody else was always doing the driving. In 1983, I went out to L.A. to plant my flag out there and try to get some work. And you were behind the wheel of a car. And I never was much of a driver when I was a kid. And I'm out there in a car every day. And we were all, shall we say, a bit happy by the end of the day. We were very happy, you know. We're super happy.
Right.
And driving around L.A. happy. Faced happy, I'll say. And and that had to stop, so I stopped. I just stopped drinking many years ago because I was driving a car in California for quite a while.
Do you happen to know Tim Matheson?
I know of him.
Yeah,
I'm a great fan because Animal House is one of my favorite movies.
Me too, man. And we just had him on the show. He just wrote his memoir called Damn Glad to Meet Ya. And I'm reading the book, and it's so remarkable that life as an actor, because you could have a huge hit and then not work again. You know, I mean, it's just so unpredictable.
Well, the business is tougher now than ever. Because when I went out there in the 80s, you went to go meet casting directors. And the directors of films, the producers of films, they relied on casting directors who at least cull the herd, you know what I mean, get rid of the ones that are just not right for the part, age-wise, looks-wise, whatever. And you go in and meet a woman. I always remember there were two women who were these legendary casting directors, Jane Jenkins and Janet Hutchinson. Everybody called them Jane and Janet. And the two of them were huge casting directors doing movies constantly. So when you went to meet them and you'd leave and they'd say, he's not right for this part, but he's right for this other part in another movie we're doing. He's right for Steve and whatever. And so they remembered you, and that face-to-face casting thing was indelible. Now there's very little face-to-face casting.
Oh, I bet. I'll bet.
So a lot of submissions and tapes and stuff like that and files that are emailed. And I'm a huge opponent of that. I think we have to get back to face-to-face casting. And the sooner the better, because I don't think it's fair to the actors. But I remember, you know, going out there and you had to, you know, introduce yourself to the town. They got to know you, and then it's word of mouth. And now it's not as personal as it was.
Right.
I think it's a very tough time for people to break into the business. When I got in, it was a bit easier, I must say.
Yeah, I didn't realize that they did not want Tim Matheson as Otter. They wanted Chevy Chase, and John Landis fought for him, and that's how he ultimately got the role.
He's so velvety. Oh. Tim Matheson in that movie, Tim Matheson is one of those guys, very handsome guy, you know, leading man when he was younger. But he was one of those guys where he didn't have to say anything and you started laughing.
Right, right. Oh, just about everybody in that movie is the same way.
And, yeah, everybody. He was perfect because he didn't open his mouth and you started cracking up.
Well, he kind of
knew what was coming.
It's kind of like you on Saturday Night Live. I mean, every time I see you on SNL, I just almost start laughing because I know there's going to be something good coming. And obviously for the 50th anniversary, I'm sure you're going to be back for that.
Yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks. Yeah.
And you had, 17 times you lead the pack in hosting?
17 times, yeah, back in the day.
That's fantastic.
I haven't
done
that in a while because then I went – you know, I used to have this fantasy. I'd say, oh, God, I wish I was in the cast of Saturday Night Live. And then during that first Trump run in 2016, I was in the cast
of
Saturday
Night
Live.
Right, yeah.
I was there every night for the first year, most nights the second year, half the nights the third and fourth year. There were not as many. But, you know, it was really an incredible experience for me because I love them. They're like family to me.
Oh, man.
And, so I've been in and out of that building forever.
Yeah, I just heard you on with Dana and David Spade. That was great. Just kind of remembering those moments.
Fly on the Wall. That's their podcast.
Yeah. Fly on the Wall. Well, so the first time you hosted SNL was 1990.
Yes.
Do you remember who the musical guest was?
I don't.
The B-52s.
Oh, well, it was them. Yeah. Okay,
and cool. You also had McCartney and you had Whitney at various times.
Whitney, yeah. Whitney Houston, who I walked up to her after her band rehearsal, after her sound check rehearsal. They do that on a Thursday. And she just was so captivating, and she was so ravishing. She was a ravishing woman.
Right.
Gorgeous woman. And I walked up to her, and I go, my God, you really are the most talented woman out there. And she looks at me in the eye, and she goes, I know, baby, and walks away. She goes, I know, baby.
That's great.
And I said, well, Whitney.
Yeah.
She was so... She was an amazing human being.
How about your interaction with Paul McCartney?
Well, Paul is someone I met there and got to be pals with him and his wife. Then Linda died. He got remarried to Heather, got divorced, married Nancy. And I've known Paul off and on and seen him because we're neighbors outside the city periodically. But any one of those guys, either with movies or TV or music, you got to kind of pick up where you left off. Because they're off, they go. And no one like those musicians, you know what I mean? They're in Brazil.
Right.
And then, they go on world tours and carve up the continents, and then they go off and do that. And some of the actors I've known has been a little bit easier. I see them more regularly. You see them at award shows,
mm-hmm.
openings, and so forth. But, I've had that very peripatetic... And pick up where you left off relationship with many people in this business. It's
sure.
got to be that way. If you can't do it that way, then you're going to struggle a little bit. Like, I'd see Bill Macy. I made three movies with Bill Macy. And I'd see Bill. Hold on one second. Are you coming? Come. Sure. Want to push the seat back, Mike? Hold on one second.
I feel like we're part of the reality show.
No, we're good. For sure. This is part of the reality show. These are the outtakes. So, you want to slide the chair back? Can you push that chair back? Push the button and come back further. There we go. One, two, three. Keep. Okay. You want to do it more, please? And do a little bit more. One second. Okay. There you go. Great.
Bill Macy, I make 3 films with him. I love Bill. And the same thing, I don't see him for like 4 or 5 years. Hug, hug, kiss, kiss. I mean, that's how that's got to be, you know?
That's pretty cool. So SNL, if we just get back to that for a second, you had so many great characters on there. What's your favorite?
I think always the weirdest, the better.
Yeah.
My favorite one, I did a sketch called Saddam's Lawyers. And I played Saddam Hussein. And my lawyers are in a waiting room in the prison. And I walk in, and I stand there, and I glare at them for like 5 seconds, and I say, "Great job, fellas!" You know, I've been sentenced to die. And I just, when they gave me that to do, I was wetting my pants laughing. So anything that's like weird, they want me to, you come on the show, and they want you to play Saddam Hussein. I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready. I mean, so, the weirder the better. The weirder the better.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you can't beat Sweaty Balls, but
people like that one. Yeah, no, that's a good one. And I mean, we've had a bunch of them that are really, really funny. I mean, the one where I'm dying in World War I or something, I'm in a foxhole and I'm dying,
yeah.
And I grab each member of my, I grab one guy who's a member of my unit and tell him to go back home and tell all these people these horrible things I thought about them. Something's positive, nothing's loving or kind. Right. I'm like, go back and tell my wife I never loved her. I'm going, like I've been shot. But they're stupid. I mean, the reason you go there is to have fun.
Right.
And that's
right.
Why I kept going back, because movie making was fun sometimes, but mostly challenging, not as much fun. 30 Rock was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
But from 1990 to 2006, that's 16 years, I don't do that much comedy. So SNL was where I would go repeatedly to have fun, because a lot of the stuff you do is, it's not as much fun. And SNL is nothing but fun. It's incredible.
With President's Day savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to 35% off select appliances like LG. Plus, save up to an extra $450 on select appliances. And with customizable kitchen packages, we make it easy to shop and swap for the features you want. Like the 3-door French door refrigerator with slow-melting round craft ice. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 35% off select appliances like LG, America's most reliable line of appliances. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. America's most reliable line of appliances per independent study. See store online for details. Minimum purchase required.
Greg is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Hi, I'm Greg. I'm not an actor. I'm just a regular person. 8 years ago, I just didn't feel like I was on my game. I started taking Prevagen, and I want people to know that Prevagen has worked for me. Give it a try. I want it to help you just like it has helped me.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence. You can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
The National Wild Turkey Federation 26th Annual Reading Chapter Hunting Heritage Banquet is Saturday, March 1st at the Senior Citizen Center at 2290 Benton Drive in Reading. Doors open at 4:30 p.m. and dinner will be served at 6:30. Tickets and sponsorship tables are available by calling 530-526-8350 or get your tickets online at nwtf.org/events.
Happy New Year, Reading, from your friends at Black Bear Diner, reminding you that if you're looking for more food, more fun, and more family, this is the place to be. You can count on a warm atmosphere and deliciously fresh home-style food. It's the perfect spot for every generation, with something for everyone. Come for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
We're talking to Alec Baldwin here in the National Defense. Are you pretty close still with your brother Stephen?
Yeah, I talk to Stephen all the time. He's upstate New York.
Okay, well, I hope you gave him some shit about his very short appearance on Special Forces.
Well, what was this? What happened there?
Well, you know, Special Forces is where they have celebrities come on, and you train like a Special Forces group. He didn't last an entire episode.
Well, then what happened? Why?
Something with his back and his neck, and he said, "I got to get out of here." And,
tapped out.
I mean, and I just thought at that time, what would your drill sergeant dad have thought of, you know, Stephen at that point?
We might have cut him a pass because it was his youngest child, but Stephen was always very physically tough. All my brothers, my brother Daniel, tough guy, could have played pro ball if he was more interested in training and taking care of himself. He wasn't always the most healthy guy. My brother Billy wrestled and was still involved for years with collegiate wrestling sports, and he went to Binghamton. And my brother Stephen was a gymnast. He didn't play lacrosse or baseball or basketball or football. He wasn't a team sport guy. He was an individual sport guy. And but he was very fit and strong and everything. But we're all getting older. Trust me, we're all getting older.
Well, and that's what Stephen said on the show. He said, "Listen, man, I'm 58." He said, you know, there's only a certain amount of life left in this body. So
right.
He was pretty good. Hey, we've talked about, Alec, you know, a lot of your military parts, and, of course, played Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle in Pearl Harbor. And I went back, though. Somebody mentioned a film that you made that I went back and watched, and it was fantastic, and you were great in it, The Cat in the Hat with Mike Myers.
Oh, God. And are you trying to rib me here, man? What are you doing?
No.
You trying to work on me here, man? What are you doing here, man?
Totally serious.
Cat in the Hat was supposed to be a fun, silly movie, and then, like a lot of movies, everybody gets nervous because the budget gets out of control. Well, I wouldn't say the word out of control. But everything got to be like, it got more expensive than people were planning. Never a good thing in a movie. You don't really want to. I mean, sometimes they'll spend more money, but they don't want to spend a lot more money.
Right.
And Cat in the Hat became, there were a lot of chit-chat about budget and overruns and this and that. But I had fun for one reason. I mean, a bunch of reasons. I love Beau Welch, one of the great, great set designers in history.
I was going to ask you about the set design.
Catherine O'Hara's husband, Beau Welch, he goes and directs Cat in the Hat. It was his first feature he directed. And Beau Welch, lovely guy. But you want to know the real thing I always remember about that movie? Was Kelly Preston, Travolta's wife.
Oh, sure.
She was truly the loveliest woman I've ever worked with in the movie business. Beautiful as the day is long. Gorgeous woman. Like, gorgeous woman. And, one of the most beautiful women in the business. I'm going to get out of this car. So you hang in there with me. I'm having a real New York interview.
Somebody save yourself,
because you've been sinning in the city. I know too many trouble. There's a specific reason why some of these politicians hate Elon Musk. The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. Elizabeth Warren claims she doesn't accept donations from Big Pharma. Not only does she collect money, she collects more than anyone else does. And the person next in line? Bernie Sanders. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Be informed. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
My message to veterans, active duty, retired, is that really seriously look at the VA home loan program. I've done it 3 times now, so I'm a repeat customer. We found a house here that we felt be a great environment for our children to grow up in. It has been transformational to my family.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov /homeloans.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Online at KCNR1460.com.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Get ready to explore the expansive universe of aviation and cutting-edge space technology in Turtle Bay's newest exhibition, Mission Aerospace, presented by Dr. Eric and Tiffany Blassingame and produced by Minotaur Mazes, on display at Turtle Bay Museum January 18th through April 20th. This highly interactive maze puzzle is sure to inspire all generations. Mission Aerospace at Turtle Bay Museum is free for members and included with paid admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Lines, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
We're talking to Alec Baldwin here in the National Defense.
Where are you again?
Kansas City.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How are you, everybody feeling there?
Oh. Listen, I'm going to tell you a funny story. This is how crazy this town is, okay? I took my wife in for her colonoscopy today. While we're in a waiting room, the Kansas City Chiefs mascot, Casey Wolf, comes in and shows up. I am not kidding you. It was great.
Now, is the town going crazy?
Oh, man. You go crazy when you go to the Super Bowl once. On the third time, you don't think of anything else. You're just absolutely out of your mind. Yeah.
I think I locked myself out of my office.
Oh no!
I'm not kidding.
This has to be part of the reality show.
Wait. Forgot. Okay, great. Okay, so here we are. I have an office downtown in my apartment, but I don't get here as often as I'd like the kids. Now, I want to talk to you. Do you mind if I propose something?
No, please propose. You want to move to Kansas City?
No, I don't, actually. I like New York because it's easy. I like New York because I know New York. I've been here forever, and it's a lot easier for me to live here. But one thing I find interesting is this idea. Your audience is a military audience, correct?
Active duty military veterans and their families, absolutely.
They do. And you have, and you probably have what kind of a listenership?
About 3 million.
How many?
3 million.
Wow.
We're on Armed Forces Radio Network. We're on over 400 stations around the country. And we've been doing this for about 10 years. So it's a big audience. It's a nice audience.
The people who are in the military, what do you think they want people, civilians, to understand or believe about their circumstance? What do they want them to know, do you think?
What a great question. And I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday. The thing that people think about people in the military, they stereotype them. And they think, well, you can't talk about this because they're not going to like that. These are people. These are people. And they are doing an extraordinary job under extraordinary circumstances. But these are people that have the same likes, dislikes, tastes, desires, entertainment levels of everybody else. And that's why we started this show, to be honest with you, was to kind of give these folks a taste of entertainment, humor, resources. That's our mission. And so I think if they could request that anybody know anything about them, it's just that, hey, listen, we're people. You know, don't treat us any.
We have a unique job.
Yeah.
But we're people.
Exactly. As a matter of fact.
Because I always say to people, I always say, when I was a kid, and I might have said this on your show before. If I did, I apologize. But when I was a kid and I was coming out of high school, so I was going to graduate in the spring of 76. We're getting ready to fill out these applications in the spring of 75 to go ROTC. And I'm going to go ROTC in the Air Force because I thought if I'm going to join the service,
sure,
I want to walk away from there learning something. And I'm going to learn how to fly a plane. And then I think I mentioned to you, my dad was the smart one. He had been a DI on PI with the Marines. And my dad said, you realize, then the war shut down, 75 August.
Right.
It's over. And my dad said, you realize now that they've reduced, and now that the war's over, they're going to cut back on the number of pilots they train. There's fewer seats.
Oh.
And these fighters, and we're not at war anymore. So they're going to cut that back. They're going to train less people. It's going to be more competitive. You may fill out the application and not get into a plane. You might not make it. You might get, you know, bumped out because you don't make the cut. And I thought about it. That's what made me not go ROTC. Hmm. I backed out because I thought, well, I want to go fly a plane. And then the war was over anyway. But you know, to this day, I see people in New York. You're always seeing sailors, you know, it's that special day they have. What's that called again in New York?
Fleet Week.
What's it called? Fleet Week, yeah. They got Fleet Week. You see these guys everywhere. And you can't help but have this tremendous pride. I'm not a war monger. I'm not a big, you know. Whatever you want to call it. But I do nonetheless like to think that America, if we had any problems, we still had a good chance to take care of ourselves.
You know who hates wars the most? The people in the military.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
But I'm on the USS Salt Lake City, and Tom, oh God, he's an admiral, and he's the admiral now. Tom, it'll come to me with an F, I believe. He was the captain of the Salt Lake City, the attack class nuclear submarine that we rehearsed on for Hunt for Red October.
Oh wow!
And then he became an admiral for the Pacific Fleet. I met him in Pearl Harbor at the screening of the debut of Pearl Harbor, the movie. Wow. And Tom, I said to him, if the Americans got into a war with the Russians, do you really think we'd win? And he said, oh, God, yeah. I said, why do you say that so reflexively? Like, what makes you say that? He said, the people.
Yeah.
He said, we have the best people. We have the best people, the best trained people. He said, it's the people that will make the difference. And I'll never forget he said that to me. Tom Fargo.
Yeah. Hey, yeah. I just went to a conference, did the show from a conference in D.C. called the AUSA conference. And I'd never been there. And there were 55,000 people there. And it's all vendors for the military, for the Army specifically. And I'm looking around at these giant drones, things that capture drones, all of this artillery, all this, it's all new. And I'm going, should we have this out in public? I mean, it was, but at the same time, you looked around and you said, God, are we lucky? Are we lucky?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I was on that ship, we only stayed overnight. We took a helicopter that dropped us down. Or did we take a boat? Or maybe we took a boat. And we went out and got on the con of the submarine, went inside and spent the night there. And one of the most thrilling experiences of my life.
Yeah.
Because in movie making, where it's like a big ticket movie where they have the money to pay, they have the access to reach these people, the places you can go, the places you get a chance to, the things you get a chance to see is just probably the most remarkable side benefit of movie making.
That's pretty cool.
And we went to New London to watch some, you know, where they were manufacturing submarines. We went to Point Loma and dove and went into the Salt Lake City. And, you just really, really are thrilled by knowing that, such great people have chosen to do this with their lives, you know, because not all of us do that.
Well, yeah,
you know, I mean, I thought about it and I wanted to do it, but I didn't.
Less than 1%, less than 1% of the population. And it's funny, those same kind of sentiment was echoed by Demi Moore. We had her on talking about G.I. Jane, and
yeah.
she said, you know, just being around to live in a barracks, to train. She said, I thought I was in excellent physical shape, and I did my first 5 a.m. 2 mile run, and I went behind a building and just threw my guts up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
they had us go for Pearl Harbor. I wasn't available, but they had them go to Dothan, Alabama to go to the, do fixed blade and.
Oh, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
Did all this training there, you know. They put me in the simulator for a helicopter, and I crashed and died probably 35 times. I was dead. I just kept crashing. I needed more time. I needed more time, fellas. I needed more rehearsal. It doesn't come to me quickly. So, but really, every time you're around, the real ball bearings of the U.S. military, you always walk away impressed. Always impressed.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal Di Mercurio here, inviting you to tune in each Wednesday for an hour of helping you turn the drudgery of preparing home meals into having fun in the kitchen. We'll be sharing tips, tricks, and tempting insights that are sure to make your time in the kitchen a pleasant and fulfilling one. Come join me and my wife Wednesdays from 5 to 6 p.m. at Cooking Like a Pro, right here on KCNR 1460.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up.
fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Called the American Dream, because that's all they want. And I want it to be like a kind of a shark tank for veteran-owned businesses. A TV show.
Mm-hmm.
You want to host it?
Are you inviting? You want me to host it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You set it up. You call me when absolutely. You get it. When you get it. So, well, listen, I think anything where you're asking Americans to buy from veterans' businesses.
Right.
You know, well, that's my big thing. It's not just a buy America thing.
Yeah.
That's a little too loosely stated.
Right, right.
What about you buy from an index? You get a database of veterans' businesses.
Right.
And you help support American veterans by buying their product. I love that idea.
I love it.
Well, when you want to do a Shark Tank, I want to know is this. You and I don't have to get rich, but is there the chance we can get rich? Is there a chance?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
That's all I need to know.
I think your production company should produce it.
Should do it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll talk. I noticed how I did the Trump thing on SNL for 4 years.
Excellent.
And it really scarred me. But I do use my hands like this all the time. And I'm like, you know, we need to do the show, Shark Tank. Okay. And I got the hand thing going. Oh, I'm doing the Trump hand thing. I can't seem to shake it. It's very, very disturbing.
You know what's going to happen when the Baldwin's reality show starts? Everybody's going to fall in love with your wife.
Well, they already have, pal. Get in line. Get in line.
Hey, listen, I took my wife through a colonoscopy, so I'm
always waiting for these young guys now. They're going to be like, they look at me and they're like, and they turn to my wife and they're like, why don't you go put Grandpa to bed here? You come out with us and go have a few drinks, you know? But my wife is really, I say this, and it's so easy, is that my wife is really the greatest thing. My wife and my family are the greatest thing that ever happened to me. Because I worked and worked and worked, and I don't regret this because it was kind of its time. When you're younger, as you well know, you want to work, and you want to make your way, and you have dreams and goals and things. And then for me now, I'm 66, and I got a 2.5-year-old baby.
Crazy.
And my oldest is 11. The thing with my family now is that it's right where I want to be.
That's great.
I love my wife. I never want to leave my house. I never want to be away from my kids. I'm only going to make an exception for Shark Tank with you.
Okay.
Military Shark Tank.
If you want, we'll film it at your house. It's fine.
Yeah. No. We got to go away.
There's enough things.
We have to film it in the Caribbean.
There you go. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Turks and Caicos is my vote.
There are enough
Anguilla.
Things. Being filmed at your house.
Big hotel in Anguilla. We can put everybody up. I think you and I need to go away.
Yeah, we do.
We need to go and do some scouting and some research first.
Yeah. Well, you have to do the research. I mean, you know that.
Yeah, we want to be professionals.
You want to make a bet on the Super Bowl?
But I'll tell you, honestly, I look at players who can really change a game. And they're not always there. They're not always on either side. I mean, Mahomes is obviously one. For Kansas City. But I got to tell you, this Saquon Barkley, he's electrified this game.
He's great.
And I got my eye on him. I think if he has a good day, they may win. I mean, you can never rule out KC. They're a great team. They're a legendary team. They're going to have a three-peat. Great. I mean, I really don't care in terms of that. I'm not like rooting. I wanted to see Detroit win a title. I wanted to see the Bills because I like them. I like Josh Allen. But I think with the head-to-head we have now, I think that obviously the KC is the favorite because everything changes obviously when you're in that game.
Oh, yeah.
It's a different mindset. But I think that if Saquon Barkley has a good game, watch out. Watch out.
Yeah. Have you ever had Kansas City barbecue?
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh. Well, that's.
I don't drink. I don't eat meat.
Well, then that's not. Well, I'm not hanging out with you in a Caribbean then.
I'll never forget. I had a girlfriend once. and her parents were lovely people, but they were diehard Republicans, and we're having dinner. And at one point, she turns to her daughter and goes, "He doesn't eat meat, he doesn't drink, he's a Democrat. What the hell are we going to talk about?" My favorite line. No, I don't eat meat, but I'll have you send me... Are there any famous chocolate companies? Got to be a famous.
Oh yeah.
City
oh
a
yeah.
Chocolate
oh.
Company.
Christopher
Who's the
Elbow.
Chocolate purveyor there. Who?
Christopher Elbow Chocolates also does vegan chocolates.
So. I don't eat vegan chocolates. I just don't want to eat beef.
Oh okay. Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. No. You'll
Christopher Elbow.
Christopher Elbow. Yes. He is famous.
Like Elbow.
Yes.
Oh wow. Okay. I'll look that up.
Christopher Elbow. He's huge.
Well. But when Philadelphia wins, you can send me some Christopher Elbow chocolate. And if KC repeats, I'll send you some Barney Greengrass, the great Jewish appetizer deli on the Upper West Side.
Ooh.
Bagels, bialys, Nova, scallion cream cheese.
What's your favorite deli there? What deli you like?
Barney Greengrass. Well, I mean, I love a bunch of Sarges and things like that. But the Selka. The Ukrainian one over on 2nd Avenue. But I've known the Greengrass family forever. I went to college with one of them back in the day. And Barney Greengrass has been a famous fixture on the Upper West Side forever, and I love it there. It's great.
We
blow it out.
What's the famous deli in L.A.? I just went there a couple of weeks ago.
Well, there's Cantor's. Cantor's?
Yeah, that's it.
On Fairfax?
Yeah.
The other one... a couple of them closed after COVID, but Cantor's is the famous one up there on Fairfax Boulevard.
Oh, my gosh, with the pastrami. Oh.
If you like that kind of food, Stage Deli closed here, Carnegie Deli closed here because of COVID. Some of them remained. But, Cantor's is a legend. Yeah, they're great. They're great. I love Mexican food when I go to L.A.
Oh, yeah. What's your favorite there? Favorite Mexican food?
The place I love closed. It was called Tia Juana, two words, Aunt Juana.
Okay.
It was on like Olympic Boulevard or Venice Boulevard right by the 405. Homemade food, homemade chips, guacamole, Tia Juana. It was great.
Oh, man. Our daughter lives out there in L.A.
What part of town is she in?
She is in Mid-Wilshire.
Okay.
And we were there because we just had our first grandchild, granddaughter. And so we were out there at the very beginning of the wildfires. And, it got scary.
Problem.
Yeah.
I had a home out there commuting back and forth from New York to LA for 30 years. And then when my daughter Ireland turned 18 in 2013, I got rid of my house there, my rental. I don't have a place out there for the last several years, for the last 12 years, which is weird because it was such a part of my life.
Yeah.
It was half my life. And when this thing happened, this fire, I got more friends out there than I have in New York. I'm one of those guys. I'm of an age now where all my friends packed up and left New York in the 90s and moved to L.A. because New York's too expensive.
Right, right.
They couldn't live here. So they all moved out there, and it is absolutely crushing. I cannot even believe because that area was very like twisty, windy roads and just trees and vines growing everywhere and stuff that was, you looked at it as like a raw beauty because everything God made out there was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everything man made out there.
Right, right. Yeah,
it's a little bit shabby there. Some of the architecture, but everything God made in Southern California is gorgeous, and all those things that look beautiful and rugged and you know kind of a tough desert themed vegetation and everything became the enemy. It was tinder.
Yeah,
and the place and they burned down the Palisades. Never in my wildest dreams, and I will say. Having been in New York during 9/11, they've got to remediate that toxicity as well as quick as possible.
Right.
Because as people in the military know, when these bombs go off and these fires happen, it burns a lot of plastics.
You're right.
A lot of toxic smoke.
Yeah.
A lot of toxic material. Well, you take the World Trade Center, that gets 13 million square feet of real estate gets pulverized into an ashtray.
Right.
Then it rains and it all washes out into the harbor. So here in L.A. or there in L.A., they need to get on that remediation as soon as possible because of the toxicity. But anyway.
Yeah, that was a big thing when we were out there, is all of the chemicals in the air, and you had to, wear a mask everywhere. And it's just, it has a lot of people in L.A., including my daughter, thinking maybe somewhere else.
Right now, along the coast of the ocean, Malibu and the Palisades, this is like a toxic bouillabaisse.
Yeah.
Everything's melted into some crap that's got to get scraped out of there and gone
right
before they
right.
could even begin. But what will happen, I think, is I think that you'll see the emergence of a completely new Palisades. They'll never go back to what it was.
Right.
They'll have a chance to change roads, drainage, water supply up there, build a fire station up there. It can't go back to what it was because that's not safe. And this will be the chance for this to perhaps be a model of the devastated, decimated urban area, that urban wildlife interface they keep talking about, and how we can do that differently now that we have this chance. I wish we didn't have the chance.
Right.
I wish it didn't happen. But now that it has happened, what can we learn from it and how can we adapt?
Hey, are you you're still doing your podcast, right?
I am. I just came for doing my podcast. Yeah.
Okay. It's so good. And I mentioned to you when we set this up, I just listened to you interview Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, at the TCM Film Festival.
Man, that was so good. That was so good. I mean, I appreciate a good conversation, obviously, and that was just so. The things that he was telling you very candidly, I think it's good sometimes to hear. I love to hear filmmakers talk to each other, or anybody.
Well, it's easy to do that show when you appreciate those people. I mean,
yeah.
I have a bottomless admiration for Dustin Hoffman, and he was so, so kind that we were there to show a film of his. That was the joke. We opened the show. I think the screening was at 11 a.m., and we showed Lenny.
Yeah.
The Bob Fosse film. And I said, we're going to mix it up here this year at the TCM Film Festival. We're going to show Lenny at 11 o'clock in the morning. And then tonight we have a midnight screening of The Sound of Music. But he very graciously came. These guys are busy and they certainly don't need the press. And he came and sat with me. I mean, he's in that pantheon of people. Beatty, Redford, Newman, Nicholson, Pacino, De Niro, Dustin, Duvall, Jimmy Conn, all of them. People that I'm leaving out a bunch of them as well. Who, these are guys who are the last great film actors / movie stars. And who played more diverse roles. I mean, very few actors who went on to become big stars, played as diverse roles as Hoffman, that he was very, very seeking in his acting.
Oh, man, so good, so good. Well, Alec, thank you so much for taking the time again.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it.
It's so great to talk to you.
My best to all your listeners there.
Thank you.
My best to everybody in the United States military.
Absolutely.
Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and beyond, Coast Guard, everything. And thank you again for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, the only question I have now is what kind of mustard am I going to put on my pastrami, my New York pastrami?
I would go with a Reuben, actually, which would be Russian dressing.
Okay.
Cheese, Swiss cheese.
I'm good with Reuben.
Sauerkraut. A Reuben with extra kraut is what I would do if I were you.
Alec,
you're not going to be happy. I'll send you some pickles as a consolation, but you get that elbow chocolate going, baby.
Okay,
get that elbow on. Get on the internet and order it now.
Thank you, Alec. Great to talk to you, man.
I heard the call to serve, so I answered. I earned a title and discovered my purpose. I found belonging, an unbreakable bond with my fellow Marines. We fought to overcome adversity together in defense of our nation and its people. I've lived a full life, rich with meaning. And even though I no longer wear the uniform, I am still a Marine. My service has come full circle. I will always look after those around me. I will always uplift and support my country and my community. Because that is the promise I made. That is what it means to be a Marine. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful, always Marine.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical